It wasn't pretty, but it's another win on the board for the Ewes. Neil Harris's men are now up to 30 points, a feat that last season took them until March to achieve. Oh, and we might just have a new forward hero. A very warm welcome then to Under the Abbey Stand, the review show. I'm Jordan Warland, and joining me on the panel today is a man who Twitter is convinced missed the winning goal on Saturday. Tom, tell them that you saw the 91st minute winner.
Yeah, of course I did, mate. Never in doubt. Never in doubt. Enjoyed it as well. It was good. Enjoyed it muchly.
Also, completing the panel is a man who makes impressive debuts wherever he goes. It's Jack Swindlehurst.
Hello. Nice to see you, everyone.
There was a real pause there, George, when you said about there is a man who...
I was nervous. I was really nervous.
Got to keep it clean. Family show. I had to rein it back. Right. Sunday afternoon, we're talking about a 2-1 victory at home against Fleetwood Town. We're not talking about me being stood in a ditch with nappers. Tom, going to come to you first, mate, because you and I spent Thursday evening discussing how it'd be nice to sign a striker. We had a sneaky feeling that we would sign a striker based on what they said on the presser. But before we talk about Mr. Taylor's debut and how he played on Saturday, the signing itself, were you surprised? Were you surprised that it's such a well-known name, a player that's got quite a good pedigree at this level? Because we were sort of speculating about it being a youngster from a higher division, which could still happen throughout the rest of the window. But yeah, I had no idea that signing was coming on Friday morning. So yeah, what did you think to the signing itself and the fact that, we've got someone with that experience now in the squad?
Yeah, I was a little bit. I think naturally we've kind of conditioned ourselves to expect that the signings we're going to make are going to be, you know, that sort of profile that we were talking about, right? That a kid basically coming on loan from an academy, something like that. And I think that was the sort of profile of player that I was expecting, to be honest. And like you say, that's something that could still happen. But yeah, I think it's been a while, I think, since we've signed like a real name, you know, someone that we've...
Especially, you know, as a forward. Especially,
yeah,
as a forward.
Someone that you can kind of look to and you know, we'd have looked at him from sort of the outside when he was sort of banging him in for Charlton and obviously got his move to Forest. And I remember when Wickham signed him as a free agent, a lot of our fans were kind of like, or I saw a few comments that like why aren't we sort of going in for this sort of guy? And the assumption...
I swear that's also in our WhatsApp group as well. I swear one of us said that.
It probably is. And I think the assumption would have been that maybe he was just kind of out of our reach a little bit.
Too much money.
Yeah, too much money, better options perhaps. And obviously, you know, he went to Wickham and it's not worked out. But I think with someone like Neil Harris as manager... And obviously they've got kind of a working relationship, if you like, that goes back, what, 16, 17 years, I think-ish. And, you know, look, I mean, when he got his move to Forest, did he envisage himself at 3 years of age playing for Cambridge United? Probably not, but, you know, a situation's arisen where he wants to go and play football and obviously enjoy doing so. And he's playing for a manager that obviously really, really backs him. And that's probably the sort of thing that gets this sort of move over the line, probably more so than what we can offer in terms of wage or, you know, our ambitions as a football club at this level at the moment, right? And, you know, we talked about optics, didn't we, on Thursday of obviously needing a striker and obviously one of the forwards we did have going back to their parent club didn't look great, didn't feel great. But the optics of bringing someone like Lyle Taylor in, the experience that he brings, the quality that he brings... for him today and go and make the debut that he did, it just feels so much better. Everything around the club, you know, it feels a lift. And, you know, it's obviously not just about Lyle Taylor, but yeah, a really, really good start.
We spoke on Thursday about it being 11 days into the window and other clubs around us have done business and so forth. There was a point in his interview on Friday, Tom, when he signed, where he said, oh, there was an inquiry like 2 weeks ago and then it went quiet. And then it sort of happened really quickly and it went across the line. What do you make to that? Do you think that that's a sign that these things maybe take a little bit longer than we think? Maybe we needed to like sign off on the money because of his profile? Or do you think maybe we were just sort of looking at other options and perhaps we missed out on the target and went back to him? I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really bother me too much as long as he's here and scoring goals. But I just found it interesting. You know, there was a 10-day kind of gap when we knew that actually we needed someone.
Yeah, then he said it all, obviously all came together really quickly at the end. I'm going to really disappoint you, Edward. I'm going to massively sit on the fence and say it's just kind of a bit of everything. I think it's kind of all of the above, really. I was just talked, and obviously we've talked about the fact that he's the sort of profile of player that maybe we didn't expect to come in. You know, someone who is frankly established at this level, proven at this level, which maybe we weren't expecting. I think it's probably more difficult to get those players in than maybe we expect. But yeah, I mean, look, if you want to kind of read between the lines of it and do the whole sort of 2+2=5 thing, we've made an inquiry right at the start of the window. We've gone away for a bit, which suggests maybe there might have been other people we were talking to or looking at, and then we've come back and it's just already in the pipeline. So, I mean, look, we said after the Leyton Orient game, like, we don't expect to win in by Blackburn, but have someone in the building by Fleetwood, and that's what we've done. And I don't think there'd be anyone listening to this, anyone that was at the game or following the game on Saturday, that would be like disappointed by what we've seen over the last sort of 48, 72 hours. So yeah, it's a really good start and really reassuring, I think.
Swindon, I wonder that Tom's already mentioned a little bit, but post-game and actually pre-game, in his interviews, Lyle Taylor was talking about wanting to come and enjoy playing football and score goals. Do you think this is potentially like a really good environment for him to thrive under? You know, he knows the manager. The relationship goes a long way back. He is obviously the main striker that we've got. Do you think that's kind of sort of an indication that this could work out really well for us? I know I'm probably jinxing it, but the conditions are there for him to thrive, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of best for both parties, really. I think he's at that point in his career, you know, he's 33 years old, he's not getting any younger, and he's been lacking game time. So he's going to get game time here. You know, there's a good manager and a manager he knows well who can kind of get the best out of him, I think. And I mean, to hit the ground running like that is a really good start. And he was involved like from as soon as he came on, and he didn't look like he'd been lacking, you know, match time at all. He was really sharp. Kind of lifted the team, really, and just, really quality cameo. And I think, you know, if we can have him, keep him fit and keep him playing, we could, we could get quite a few goals out of him. But like you say, it's the commentator's curse, and I'm nervous now that he's going to, you know, do his ACL or something, and then, it'll be the flash in the pan.
Well,
I think that's a really good point to make, Swindon, you know, because, you know, we're obviously going to sit here and the headline is that he set up the goal and obviously scored the equaliser and set up the winner, which mm-hmm. is obviously the headline news. And that's the thing that, you know, fundamentally won us the game. But like, I think, you know, in the time between him signing and sort of now, basically, you know, the comments we've seen maybe from the outside and people that maybe watched him at Wickham are, you know, is this, and the worry you have when you sign someone like this who, you know, fundamentally has come from Forest, dropped down a little bit, and you're like, what we expecting here? And I think the comments that we saw were maybe that, you know, is it just going to be kind of another payday sort of thing? Is it going to be, kind of last roll of the dice, see how it goes, and if it doesn't go well, then sort of shrug of the shoulders. But I think it's a really good point to make, and really important point to make, that he was literally everywhere and completely changed the dynamic of what we did going forward, and just gave us such a presence and just added quality that we didn't have on the pitch before that. But you know, it feels like, and you know, it's easy to say after the event, and obviously it's very early days, so let's not get like, oh, you know, totally carried away here. But Cambridge United with Neil Harris as manager feels like a very, very good environment for Lyle Taylor at the moment. And obviously, that, like I said, that's easy to say now because we saw what we saw on Saturday. But you know, I think it gives you such confidence going forward, right? But it's more reassuring. The sort of graft that he was putting in, and the sort of, you know, how he applied himself, and if you can get a player like that with that quality and that track record to really apply themselves and really graft for the football team, then I mean that could be, you know, fundamentally the difference between going down and staying up, or, you know, just staying up by the skin of your teeth and making it a bit more comfortable, I guess.
Yeah, I was really surprised when he came on by how physical he was. But obviously, he's not a target man, but he was really putting himself about, tussling with defenders. Obviously Fleetwood are quite a physical team anyway. He was up for it and actually did pretty well, because remember some of the words I saw on Twitter when he signed was basically saying that he doesn't do that, he doesn't do the grafting, you know, he's good in the box, he's good at finishing, but he's not gonna, you know, bust a lung to to you know, do the dirty stuff and help other people. Or so yeah, I was really impressed by that side of his what, 20, 30 minutes on Saturday. Swindle, obviously the game turned when both he and Jocko came on. Talk us through the first goal from your perspective and yeah, Taylor's impact in that.
Yeah, just, that's the instinct that you want from a player like that. He's in the right place. He'd been in the right positions all game, but in that final third, when someone's on the wing cutting it in like that, you need to be in the right place. He's in exactly the right place and did his job, a job that Jack Lancaster managed not to do near the end. And we probably won't touch on that as much as we would have done if we hadn't have scored. But yeah, just really good positioning from Taylor. And I think Brandon Njoku, just fantastic to see him introduced and making an impact. It was really good to see Michael Morrison after that goal was really kind of
Go straight to him, didn't he?
straight to him and
Yeah, I
just,
saw that.
and
It's
that's good
nice.
to kind of bring him into the team and make, because you've got to nurture young players like that. And, he's at the end of his career, but Brandon's at the start of his. So, yeah, it was good. But, yeah, Taylor, just right place, right time. And like, I've said, and Tom's touched on as well, like, the goal was fantastic and, he played well. But it was just the performance all round. It really lifted United and, we wouldn't have won that game without him yesterday, I'm sure. And, yeah, it's a really great start from Taylor. And, yeah, honourable mention to Brandon and Joku as well. I think it was an all right performance. I think Fleetwood are actually, really quite rubbish and they will go down. And yeah, I think we were maybe a little bit lucky, but yeah, you take those, and at the end of the season, you don't look back and think about it being lucky. You just take the 3 points, really.
Tom, it's rare that we come on and do a pod where we get excited about two strikers, but Swindle's already started the conversation on the other appearance on Saturday that is definitely worth discussing. Yeah, how was Njoku's performance for you? How excited are you by him as a prospect? And then we've had a ton of questions on Twitter, basically asking, what's best for him moving forward. Does he need to play more for us, or do we need to think about getting him alone to a better level than where he was at the start of the season was?
Yeah, I think it's really important to give him the credit that he deserves. And you know what? I felt a bit bad in a way because obviously he comes on, then gets taken off again. And like, it feels like that's a bad thing, but like obviously it's a needs must situation. We needed to get some physicality on at the back, but it's a bit of a weird one because when a sub comes on and goes off, like I say, like you naturally assume something's gone a bit wrong there, but it almost gave him the chance to get like the recognition that his performance deserved. We talked about Lyle Taylor and obviously he's the headline because you sign striker scores, striker sets up winner. It's the perfect debut. That's the narrative, right? But I thought Njoku was brilliant. Like I thought he caused them no end of problems. And we saw it in sort of flashes against Leyton Orient in what was a very, very disappointing performance. But he made a bit of an impact on that, gave the defenders something a bit extra to think about in that game. And the question mark is can you turn that into like tangible sort of sort of tangible things basically. And he was able to do that. And I think like he played in the sort of way that you almost expect of a young player in a way that there's just no fear there, is there? It's all just kind of like, let's just see what happens here. And you know what, if it is a bit soon and I'm not able to impact the game in the way that I want, then there's still time. But as much as I think it's worth crediting Njoku because he was obviously really, really good, really, really lively. I think it's really worth as well crediting Neil Harris. I think that's a really brave sub to make at that moment in the game. The scores are level. Obviously Katrunga goes off injured and it's like, what do you do here? Do you bring on like May, try and like shore things up in midfield, someone more seasoned, but he's just given him like full trust, like full confidence. Just like, I'm backing you here, like to go out and actually do something. And obviously that's what he was able to do. So I think it's also worth crediting Harris for that. But yeah, and Jocko was brilliant. I'm not ashamed to admit I didn't really know anything about him really before he came back from his loan. I sort of heard things about how he's impacting games. I think, when he was out on loan, and you sort of think like, all right, fine, like go and score goals at that sort of level. But there's a big, big gap between doing that and scoring loads of goals for fun and, whatever with respect to the sort of dog and duck league that that he was playing in, but to come and just play in that way and be able to impact it, I think is so, so impressive. The other point, and the other question you asked about what's best for him, I mean, I'm sure he's not going to be placing his career guidance in my hands anytime soon, so hopefully this is kind of quite risk-free, right? But
I mean, did you just say the dog and duck league? I mean, it sounds to me like you're good at career advice, so I wouldn't put yourself down there, mate.
you know what, like, it's a really difficult one to balance this, because there is nothing that I would love more than for us to bring through an academy prospect like Brandon Njoku straight into the team, impacting games every week. But look, I don't know. I don't know if just chucking him in the deep end is the best thing for him. I'm not sure. Like, I think that it's not going to harm his longer term career and sort of development if he's playing at a good level. But I think we need to be a little bit realistic that, you know, the same thing with Lyle Taylor, right? Like, just because he's had one good game, like, let's not get totally carried away in what was otherwise quite a mediocre sort of performance. But the early signs are good; they're positive. I wouldn't like to think we just rest on our laurels now and just go, right, and Njoku's sort of number four striker, or, you know, considered to be one of the options there. I would speculate that perhaps the plan is that we bring somebody in who maybe does have a little more experience, and he maybe goes out on loan to a better level than what he was playing at. But I mean, the opportunity's there for him to really make his mark and really be in, you know, sort of be in the squad. He needs to be playing football, I think, is the important thing. But yeah, I mean, look, if that sort of performance is enough to get you excited about a young prospect, then what is? And I think it's really important that we kind of give that airtime to him, because, you know, you kind of have minimal expectations when someone comes on that you've basically never seen play football before. And what he delivered was really, really, really impactful.
What a lovely thing it was as well that on a day where you had a lot of like kids in the South Stand, kids that are connected to the club, that someone from the academy comes on at that end and is involved in the goal. What a great sort of example to see there. I think I'm with you, Tom. I think the rest of the window, the priority will be getting in another striker, and then whether he stays and goes out on loan, I guess probably depends on the Kachunga news and what the injury was from Saturday. We don't know yet. Maybe it was just a precaution that he went off. I don't know if
Yeah,
anyone saw post game, if there was
I
an
think Harris came out and said basically he thinks it might be a little bit of fatigue because he's not been on the grass much. He's not had much time to train, so I think it was precautionary rather than anything too bad, really. But yeah, I think you're probably right, really. I think
yeah, on the
I'd like
grass,
to see that.
get it in.
I'm a bit of a romantic. Like, I kind of
We know
like
that.
I kind of hope he stays and just plays him. I know Liam Bennett did go out on loan and wasn't a youth product of Cambridge United per se, but you know, we chucked him in early, and I know he's had rough times, but I think it would be cool to see, you know, a player like Njoku come in. But it will just completely, like you say, depend on it. There's no guarantee that we will be able to get anybody else in, you know. There's not a million people out there on the market, and there's bigger clubs than us who'll pay more money. But yeah, we will see. But it'd be nice to see him stay. But as you said, the most important thing is that he plays football.
We should probably send him out on loan so that we can spend 6 months of the next season talking about whether or not he should have gone out on loan. I feel like that's some good pod content ahead.
I'm already absolutely
Get off the
ecstatic
fence. Get off the
for
fence,
the
Tom. You
already
can't
absolute.
have.
I'm already did, I cannot wait for the 98-page thread that's going to develop on a message board in the next sort of 6 to 12 months about, was it wrong to send Brandon and John go out on loan to, I don't know, let's just say Newport or something. Like, he comes back in, scores 30 goals a season after, there's still people like, you know, it was a bad move for his career. Yeah, I think the comparison to Bennett is actually quite an interesting one, because I think the main difference there is that in Bennett's position, he was able to come in and just play games. And obviously, you know, the experience he had in that sort of season before he went out on loan, like, he was playing 90 minutes. And I think the difference is, like, is the best thing for Brandon Njoku maybe playing half an hour every now and again, maybe 20, 30 minutes every now and again if something happens, or is he better off going out to like a League Two or conference team and actually playing every week and scoring goals and impacting games at a proper level? But look, there's better, more well-placed people than me to make that decision, thankfully, because I wouldn't want to be responsible for having to decide his future, because, who knows?
We've mentioned Liam Bennett. It's time to talk about Ryan Bennett. Maybe not as an exciting chat, this one, Swindle. Coming to you for a debrief on the Fleetwood equaliser. Had a few questions about Ryan Bennett. We've had loads of questions this week, by the way. So thank you, everyone that did tweet in. Simon has asked, was Ryan Bennett's involvement in their goal as bad as the Shrewsbury goal? Can't someone tell him to play and watch the ball rather than concentrating on manhandling the attacker and appealing to the ref for a foul that wasn't committed? Simon feels that he nearly cost us 2 points again. Swindle, what's your take on this?
I think it's
Didn't cover himself in glory when you sort of watch back on it.
no, it absolutely. But I think it was a really poor goal to concede from the off. I think, we shouldn't be letting crosses in like that, and it was just so simple, and just so avoidable, it seemed. I feel like Stevens was a bit in no man's land as well.
It's on Ryan Bennett though. Like, the reason that they're able to get the crossing really easy is because of Ryan Bennett. I
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
think
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the point.
yeah, yeah. I mean, but also, there's been
Tom's off the
so many
fence there. Tom's
times.
off the fence.
Well, there's been so many times where Ryan Bennett has been like a standout player for us and gained us points. I mean, sadly, as a defender and as a goalkeeper in that defensive unit, you'll be exposed, and as soon as you make a mistake, people jump on your back. I mean, it was poor from Ryan Bennett, but he'll know that. And I do think he, along with Michael Morrison, has kind of shored up our defence to a point. I know we're a bit leaky, and I know we're exposed, but we're always going to be in this league. It's a tough league, and I think. It was a bad mistake, but it was a mistake. I don't think it's a habit that's starting to form.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's part of the question, isn't it? Like,
Well, yeah.
is this a habit that's coming in? Because obviously there's the Shrewsbury example in the question, but I remember back to that horrible day at Peterborough, and one of their goals was him yelling at a linesman for an offside that didn't come.
Yeah.
So perhaps the fear is that there is a bit of a habit there, and it's a mentality, personality thing that's coming from someone who is, quite frankly, the most experienced player in the squad, has played at the highest level compared to everyone else.
Well, we got he got away with one in the first half as well, where I think he let it bounce twice, I think. I can't remember exactly what sort of followed, but basically he gave them the opportunity to win the ball in quite an advanced area. The same thing happens in the second half, and obviously they're able to punish us, right? And if we drop 2 points, like I think the what Swindle says there is absolutely valid. Like, we sat here on multiple occasions at the start of the season, the whole clean sheets, the platform, et cetera, et cetera. Like, we were talking about, like, these two guys are probably our best players. Like, they're probably the ones that are actually going to build the team around, weirdly. And they've delivered, between the two of them. But, Ryan Bennett particularly, like, we've spoken on a lot of occasions about what a positive influence he's been, right? He's been at the football club for probably near on a year now, probably about bang on a year, I guess. He came in last January, didn't he? Played a huge, huge part in us staying up last season, and was a huge part of our sort of early season form. But I think you almost get more frustrated at what Ryan Bennett does in that situation, where he just loses the ball really easily, doesn't challenge properly, and then is sort of remonstrating with the ref while he could frankly just be doing his job better, because of what we've just talked about, because of the level that he's played at and the experience he's picked up. You those things look worse from a player of that sort of background and that sort of,
Definitely.
someone with that CV than it would for, let's say, Okadina or Rossi or someone like that who doesn't have that experience in the game. So I think that's where the frustration play, sort of comes in. I mean, I think there's absolutely no question that Ryan Bennett's impact on Cambridge United Football Club has massively, overwhelmingly been a net positive. But there have been a couple of situations there where, the Shrewsbury ones are obviously the example where I think his involvement, it was the worst, and that's literally cost us 2 points. There's obviously a lot of other people involved in that goal as well, so it's not just Ryan Bennett, but it was Ryan Bennett, and that cost us 2 points. Thankfully, it didn't hear. But
Nearly got us a winner, of course. Imagine if that had dropped in, that header that
yeah,
hit the bar.
retribution, George. Retribution. There's a
Well,
narrative.
I'm sat here going to each game thinking we've got two defender goals this season. I need another eight before the end of the season for my prediction to come true. So seeing headers come off back off the bar is extra frustrating for me.
It's all right, Dunk's back soon, mate. So I'll be bagging him in for fun, I'm sure.
Keeping with the slight negatives from Saturday's performance, Swindle, you mentioned this and not wanting to talk about it too much, but we are going to come back to it. We had the opportunity to regain the lead very, very quickly after Fleetwood equalised. something that Jack Lancaster's probably skipping if he's looking at the highlights today, probably dreading watching it back in on the training facilities on Monday when they watch the game back. A lot of questions about, is that the worst miss you've ever seen from a Canes United player? So I want to get both your thoughts on that, because at the time it looked really bad for me. And then I watched it back on the video and it didn't seem as bad. So I feel a
It's
little bit of retribution for him there.
god awful. It's the worst miss I've ever seen. You can't not score that. Just
You're
side
probably
foot
right.
it.
Yeah.
Just side foot it. That's so simple. I mean, I don't think, and I don't like to dig players out, and it happens to everyone. But I think that is the worst miss I've ever seen from a Cambridge United player. Mullin was always good for a close quarters miss, because he scored all the time, no one really batted an eyelid. So when you're someone like Jack Lancaster, has a bit of a harder time. But he is showing, flashes of what he can do, Jack Lancaster. So yeah, that doesn't define him, but it's a shame really, because he could have that would have been quite a nice story and maybe confidence boost for him. But yeah, it's an awful miss. And yeah, you just have to get over it and just get your head over the ball and put your foot through it.
I was literally stood there, head in hands, during that. The thing that kind of grinded, and obviously now we look at it in the rearview mirror and it's all fine because we obviously got the winner in the end, so all's well that ends well, I guess. But at that point, you're thinking, that's the game. That's the game there. And yeah, I mean, particularly in the context of having just played away at Blackburn, a championship team, where he rockets one in from the edge of the penalty area right into the top corner. And then you're thinking, oh, we've been pegged back here. Really frustrating. Literally 30 seconds later, the ball's at the other end of the pitch, and you're like, yes, it's a goal. And it's just like, I actually disagree with you a bit, Jordan. I don't think it doesn't look as bad on the video. I think it looks just as bad.
I think it gets worse.
Yeah. And fuck me. I mean, I am absolutely delighted that we're sat here having won that game. Because if we weren't, I mean, you like I think I would look at that more than the defending for the equaliser and be like, oh, what on earth? Because especially with like you think of it from like a Fleetwood perspective, like what they've been through this season, and Swindle's absolutely right to say that they look like a lost cause, frankly, in many respects. You've just got yourself back into a game that you thought you were going to lose. You think, right, we're finally going to get at least a point away from home. And then 30 seconds later, the ball's in the back of your own net. I genuinely believe that if that goal had gone in, I think we'd go on and win that game 4 or 5-1, because heads would
Yeah.
have just dropped and they'd have been there. But yeah.
The reason why I don't think it looks as bad when you watch it back on the video is just how close the sort of the covering defender is, and the fact that he's clearly trying to place it in the bottom corner. So that's my caveat. But yeah, it is bad. It is bad. And I think you're right, Swindle. We are seeing flashes of him really showing what he can do, because like Tom says, scores a great goal at Blackburn, hits the crossbar in the first half from outside the box. So yeah, we thought we'd blown it, but we hadn't. Can I get a few words, Tom, on the late winner, the Taylor involvement, the finish from Kaikai? Fill your boots. What we
The
or
first
what we
name, Sully Kaikai's name, has been mentioned on the pod.
just
today,
saving it,
that
just
is, of
saving the best
course.
till last and all that.
Wow, yeah. You know what? We talked after, I think it was probably Exeter, maybe, about Neil Harris coming in and the impact that it's had on Kachunga. But I actually think probably Kaikai's taken over as the player that's been best, to be honest. Like, sort of playing out of position-ish. I will say, I think he's played quite well when he's gone through the middle, but when he went back out wide, when Taylor came on, like, wow, it shows you what a player we've got there. If he can hopefully kind of find that level a little bit more, because I think on the wing he's such a handful, such a problem, and he did what good wingers need to do. Like, I always think that wingers realistically should be chipping in sort of between 5 and 10 goals a season just by being at the back post enough. Because how many times you see things like that where like it will just like a cross will just get shot through the box and no one's on the end of it. I think it's worth talking about the finish as well, because I don't think it's an easy one to like
What hit?
it particularly in the context of what we just talked about as well, by the way. But like, I think it's a one that's really easy to get under and absolutely rocket over the crossbar. And I tell you what, when it hit the roof of the net, I thought that's what happened. I thought it,
Likewise, I thought it was a
yeah,
side netting, the
side
way the
net
net
sort of rolled
moved.
across the back of the across literally across like the back of the goal. But no, brilliant finish, and obviously, as you say, like absolute lift off. There's nothing like stoppage time week, like winner, sorry, is there? Like it's just what we needed. And I feel like, you know, obviously you mentioned about the fact there's like loads of our fans in the South Stand and all the rest of it, and you know, the positivity that we had with obviously Lyle Taylor coming on, scoring and playing so well, and obviously Njoku in there as well. But like, it would have felt really disappointing not to have won that game. I'm not saying that we, you know, thoroughly deserved it. Like, we weren't convincingly the better team, I don't think, across the course of, what was it, sort of 97, 98 minutes in the end. I wouldn't say that for a second, but it felt like an occasion where we just needed to get something. We needed to get a good result. And I'm really happy that obviously that's what's happened. I think Taylor's role in it is brilliant as well. Like, sort of springs you offside trap and, it's a shot. Like it's probably not what Lyle Taylor would have wanted, but you know, the end result is obviously absolutely brilliant, and Kai Kai should take a lot of credit, because I think he's been he's really stepped up in the last sort of, particularly since Gassan got injured. I think he's one that's really took a bit of responsibility, stepped up and just been like, look, we're not in an ideal situation, I'm probably not going to be playing through the middle for the rest of my career, but I'll do a job there, and obviously gets back in his favourite position. He does what all good wingers should do. And yeah.
Well, I've got a follow-up question for something that you've sort of said there, and other people have sort of mentioned this as well, Tom, about the expectations of wingers and perhaps Harris's expectation of wide players and their involvement in goals. Like you say, Kai Kai went out wide when Taylor came on. We've had quite a few questions, and there's been a bit of sort of a back and forth between people on Twitter in response to this about the left-hand side and James Brophy's role from here onwards. I want to get both your thoughts on where we see that panning out. Like, do we see Kai Kai now being first choice on that left-hand side? And do we see maybe less opportunities for Brophy, or do you think he's still the main starter? So what's both your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think for now, that role is going to be Brophy's, I think. I think it's a really easy thing to say that a manager wants their wingers to score goals, because what manager doesn't? Like, frankly, I wouldn't imagine Mark Bonner was saying to James Brophy, "Oh, don't score any goals. We don't want that." And then Harris comes in and goes, "I'd like my wingers to score, please." I don't think that's what's happened here. I think Kai Kai is naturally a much more sort of potent player in the final third than Brophy is. Like, you know, we've seen enough of James Brophy to know what he brings to this football club, and we know that we're not going to be reliant on him for goals. But what he can bring is, you know, again, to use the phrase, that is a net positive, I think. I think he's a really good player. I think he does get a lot of stick, and like, you know, we've kind of at times criticised and sort of talked about, you know, the sort of big numbers, goals and assists, and said that it's not what it should be. But like, his next move, like, he's obviously out of contract in the summer. His next move will be upwards in terms of like stature of club, wage, whatever metric you want to use. Maybe not division. I think he might stay at this level. But like, he is a player that opposition fans, opposition managers even, always comment on. Mm. I don't think James Brophy's going to lose his place in the team anytime soon. I think he's a really, really good asset for us.
What's your preferred front four then? If everyone's fit, is it Lyle Taylor, then Kai Kai right, Brophy left, and Kachunga behind?
Maybe, but if everyone's fit, like, you're thinking like a front two of Lyle Taylor and Gassan Ahadmay could be quite interesting. Like a Neil Harris team at its best, that, isn't it? It just reeks of Steve Morrison and Lee Gregory banging him in for fun in League One.
That won't be until late March. So between now and then, if you get people like Thomas back fit and Kachunga's maybe not out as long, that group.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing that I can say is I don't know. Like, there's so many options there.
So you don't know what Njoko should do. You don't know what a front four is. Hey, what are you doing on this pod? Swindle, you were nodding along when we're talking about Brophy. What's your take?
I think I agree for the most part. And what I kind of hope is that the players around him who play in the similar position are going to kind of bring the best out of James Brophy, you know, a bit of competition from places, but also maybe a bit of inspiration, because end product is the one thing he's lacking in that final third. And it'd be great for him to add that to his game, because what Tom said is very true. You know, he's a very able player, and he's lauded by opposition managers very regularly. And, you know, he puts so much effort in for the team, but it'd be good to see that. And I think Tom made another good point about, you know, being in the right position when we've got the ball on the wing, and we saw how good that can be, like attacking from wide positions yesterday. And I think quite often we've maybe lacked that person in the right position in the box, and the balls flashing across the box we seem to see on such a regular basis. And to have that kind of in our artillery is a really kind of useful thing. And I think hopefully Brophy can carry on with the effort and just get a bit more end product, and hopefully maybe the introduction of Taylor might actually benefit James Brophy, I think. So hopefully we'll see more from Brophy. And yeah, I agree with Tom. I think he'll continue to start for the time being, but it's nice to have options. And Neil Harris is pretty, he's an experienced manager, he's pretty level-headed, so I think if he sees something that needs change, and he'll do it. And also, like, sometimes a player just needs a break. It's a long old season, and these players run themselves into the ground with a pretty hectic fixture list. So I think it's Brophy for the time being, but nice to have more options, I suppose.
Tom, most of this pod so far has been focused on sort of the last 20, 30 minutes of the game on Saturday. We've barely touched on the sort of 60, 70 minutes before that. Wasn't the best advert for League One football, was it? After the game, Harris said, we found a way to win, and that's the most important thing. Would you agree with that? What's kind of your hot take on the whole 90 minutes, as it were?
I mean, look, in the context of winning the game in a fashion that we did, I'm kind of happy to take that sort of comment, that sort of quote at face value for what it is. Like, found a way to win. That's the positive. That's the headline. Fine. I don't believe for a second that he will be saying that to the players, because you're right. I mean, the first sort of hour, really, but basically up until Lyle Taylor comes on, frankly, was a horrendous watch. From our perspective anyway. I think, like, there is room to give Fleetwood a little bit of credit there as well. Like, I think the one thing you always hear coaches and players talk about, whatever level it's coming from, they always talk about things like duels and 50-50s. And Fleetwood were just first to a lot of stuff in that first hour. And that we've seen ourselves, that happens when you bring a new manager in. That's but for whatever reason it might be, whether they a little bit of a sort of mini sort of lease of life after Lee Johnson leaves, and the players are sort of bang up for it again. So I think there was a little bit of room to talk about Fleetwood and just say that I think they were quite okay in that sort of first period. But look, we just weren't really at it for like an hour. And I think the frustrating thing for me was that I guess it's sort of to be expected, but we hark back to the first half performance at Oxford. We hark back to how we were able to hurt Blackburn. And the way that we've sort of played without having a proper nine on the pitch, we were playing in a fashion and that sort of suited with an actual target man, like an actual focal point up front, without actually having one on the pitch. I think at times, like, Kachunga and Kaiko are actually making some quite intelligent runs, and particularly sort of down the channels in the sort of space between the centre back and the full back, which is what you want from players like that. But we just weren't kind of doing things quick enough. Like, we weren't taking, like, the decisive pass, getting the ball in behind. And it was very much more, or it seemed to be to me, get it wide, get it in the box without anyone really to aim at. A proper, like, focal point, that is. So that was a little bit frustrating. But I guess it's kind of what you expect. And, everyone I was with, we were sort of turning around to each other at the game and just like, this game is absolutely crying out for Lyle Taylor to come on the football pitch. And obviously he comes on and the rest is history. But, yeah, not a great advert, as you say. It's one of those games where, like, you watch it for the first hour at least, and you're like, "Fuck me, these are definitely two of the bottom four here, aren't they?" Because this is not League One football at its finest, should we say? But no, look, I mean, I guess games of that nature often play out like that, and maybe there's a little bit of it as well that, like, we're conditioned a little bit by the fact that we almost expected to roll them over a little bit because of the cup game. I don't think that was necessarily the case in the players or the management, but I think amongst the fan base, it's understandable. Like, we sat here less than a month ago, basically, and watched us absolutely batter them. And you kind of expect, right, here we go again, let's get at them. And it just didn't kind of quite pan out like that. But I think in the context of having won the game, I'm more than happy to hear the sort of, we found a way to win. That's what good teams do. They find a way. But secretly, privately, up it a little bit for the next few games. Because if you can't play for an hour like that every week and expect to get results consistently. We're
It
thankful
was
to play bottom of the league, I guess.
classic. South Stand is full of people in for probably their
Yep.
first game there on the
Aren't
freebie.
there
Disappointing performance.
like a few more of those initiatives planned as well?
Yeah.
In like
Yeah,
the
Cheltenham's
next
one,
few
I
weeks.
think. Yeah.
Student night for Bolton. I remember that one against Grimsby that night. Absolutely rammed. Like, I'm packed full to the rafters and just like one of the most attritional games of football you've ever seen. It's weird that, like, maybe we're just kind of like taking one example and kind of like extrapolating that across every time that the South Stand's full of Cambridge fans. But it does feel like we stake the gaff out a little bit when it does happen.
I
Like,
think the stats back it up as well. If you look at like the whole time that they've been doing those initiatives, which go right back before League One, I reckon the stats will back us up there with points return.
but those fans in that South Stand will remember that day for, you know, a last minute winner at their end, won't they? They won't give two
Yeah,
hoots about the quality
definitely.
of the performance. And we've got 3 wins out of 5 games in the league. I mean, I know we lost two on the bounce, but I think we, you know, Harris has got 9 goals since he's come in, and you know, we'd scored two before that for a bloody long time. So I think, yeah, the breath of fresh air from Neil Harris, and performances are one thing, but results are really what we need. And you know, performances will come when we've got, you know, a fully fit team, and when he's had a bit more time with them. But if he can grind out results and get us scoring again, and I think that is kind of primarily the most important thing. It's just not always that fun to watch.
I still can't get my head round whether this is just the Neil Harris style of football, and a lot of people commented when he was hired about it's not pretty, it's direct, it's ugly, or if it's like Tom sort of alluded to, we've not had a lot of games with not just a full strength squad, but you know, big gaps in the squad, like not having a number nine. So I can't quite sort of decide on whether it is. I'm sure it's probably somewhere in the middle, and like you say, for us in this division with our budget and so forth, it's probably more about points on the board rather than how it looks. And you know, like I said at the top of the pod, it took us until March last season to get to 30 points, and here we are already.
I think as well, like it, I think the one thing that was maybe missing that was a little bit different, which maybe does kind of maybe back up the idea that the first half was just really underwhelming, was I think the one thing that we've done consistently, like regardless of how pretty or easy on the art of football is, which, you know, I don't think we're really expecting or really too hung up on, but we have always created a decent amount of opportunities under Harris, save the Leyton Orient game. In every other game, like, you know, the old XG stat, Jordan, the, you know, your favourite one, has always been like really quite good. Particularly like the Exeter game, for example. And, you know, similarly, there was a moment in that game where it was kind of backs against the wall a little bit. But yeah, I think you know, like Swindle said, like, you know, just to be kind of, I guess, a little bit bigger picture for a moment, like the form since he's come in has been very decent, really. You know, like you say, three wins out of five, good point at Charlton. All right, we've lost against Oxford last minute, having played really well for most of that game. They're obviously a team who are going to be in and around the playoffs, probably in the playoffs, maybe even pushing for the automatic promotion spots. And then just a really lacklustre performance against Leyton Orient. It's kind of like mid-table form, that, isn't it, really? And it's a sign of a team that, if you look at it from the outside looking in, you probably go, they're not going up, they're not going down, they're just kind of trotting along a little bit. And I think when we discussed Harris coming in, we were like, that's kind of what we're after. So yeah, not big alarm bells, but I think there's a little bit more to give, a little bit more to show, rather.
Leyton Orient, by the way, who went to Portsmouth on Saturday and won 3-0, which is mad. So perhaps that wasn't as bad a result as it felt at the time, even though the performance was pretty dire.
Yeah, I think we're. I think if at Tom's point is the one from the outside looking in, we probably look like a kind of lower mid-table team that don't need to worry. But when you're a fan of a team, you know how precarious it is. And we saw last season how we got sucked into it and barely got out of it. And I think, you know, there's a 7-point gap, but that can quite quickly disappear. And I think, you know, Cambridge fans are just very wary about how life has gone in League One, especially last season. So I think 7 points is a good gap, but I think the rest of the two remaining games of January are really important. And I think we could, it would be kind of amazing if we get 4 points from it. I might be kind of, you know,
So that would be 7 points out of nine, coming back to our conversation on Thursday, Tom, about would you take 5 points or 6 points? So there's your answer. 7 points is what you want.
I think we've got to extend this to the Shrewsbury game as well. I think it's four, like, leading up to that, because they're obviously right in amongst it as well. I think the other thing that I guess gives you a little bit of confidence, and you know, I really don't want to fall flat on my face with this one, but you know, you look at having just beaten Fleetwood, we're now 12 points ahead of them, obviously significantly better goal difference, game in hand over them. I think if we look, if we're talking about like how the table's going to look come the end of the season, I don't think Fleetwood are going to catch us. I don't think that's too much of a stretch. And like, you know, the discussion on whether they stay up, go down, I'm not really that bothered about. But the fact is, I don't think we're going to finish below Fleetwood. So that's one out of four. You look at what happened at Reading. Like that looks like it's going to fall apart the sides at some point. Like, you know, if they're regularly having games stopped, abandoned because of obviously ownership issues and fans reacting to that, at some point that's going to result in points deductions. And I guess you wonder about how their squad's going to look come the end of January. They're obviously desperate for a bit of cash. That's maybe two. And then it's like, can you be better than like two of Carlisle, Cheltenham, Exeter, Burton, Shrewsbury, Port Vale for the rest of the season? And that gives you a little bit of confidence. I mean, it sounds easy like that. I know it doesn't always play out like that, but you know, we talked on Thursday, didn't we, George, that like the next sort of six, seven weeks, that's the season in itself in a way. And it's a good start, but if you can have a very decent points return in the next three games, I think you look at the rest of the season and your target then becomes how soon can you get your feet up, basically, which is
Well, here's a question for you. Here's a question for you, Tom. You're looking one way. I'm looking the other. 16 points between us and Barnsley in that last playoff spot.
Oh, now we're talking.
Is
Now we're talking.
that too big a gap for mid-January? You know, if it was like 10 points, 12 points, chase it down, but 16?
Listen, Jordan, I'm never going to tell you no. I'm never going to tell you no. Keep dreaming.
WMG.
Keep dreaming. Why not? Look, we turned around 7 points in nine games at the end of last season. We can do 20 in what, 21 games? Let's do it. Let's look at the top two, because that's looking pretty grim at the moment, I'll be
I don't really want to look at the top
honest.
two, yeah, and who the most formed team in the country are. That seems like a good place to leave it before we get sucked into that
Leave it on a high note, as
hole.
always.
Yeah. Gents, it's been a pleasure. Swindle, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jordan.
Tom, glad you saw the goals.
Yeah, me too. Makes a change.
We'll be back on Thursday with our preview show.